Well, good morning, sowers for a great awakening, and saints of God, it's August the 2nd, it's Friday, August the 2nd, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Let's begin this Friday before Jesus. Let's consecrate ourselves, just become aware, become attuned, become attentive. We're moving into abiding. That's where we're going today. We're going to abide in Jesus all day long. It starts right at the beginning. If you want to win the day, you got to win the morning. We're about to win it right here. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, God Gets Us Where He Wants Us, No Matter the Machinations. Our text is Acts chapter 25, verses 23 to 27. Hear now the word of the Lord. The next day, Agrippa and Bernice came with great pomp and entered the audience room with the high-ranking military officers and the prominent men of the city. At the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. Festus said, King Agrippa and all who are present with us, you see this man. The whole Jewish community has petitioned me about him in Jerusalem and here in Caesarea, shouting that he ought not to live any longer. I found he had done nothing deserving of death. But because he made his appeal to the emperor, I decided to send him to Rome. But I have nothing definite to write to His Majesty about him. Therefore, I have brought him before all of you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that as a result of this investigation, I may have something to write, for I think it is unreasonable to send a prisoner on to Rome without specifying the charges against him. The Word of the Lord. Now consider this. As noted in a recent post, the Apostle Paul was a big fish in the small pond of the church in her early days. However, he was quite the minnow in the big ocean of the rest of the world. So, how does Roman citizen number 353883, living in a backwash corner of the empire, find himself imprisoned for over 2 years and now on trial for no reason anyone can discern other than he claimed a dead man was alive? How does this obscure human being find himself standing before a governor and a king? Short answer, because Jesus said so. Remember back in Matthew 10 when Jesus sent out his 12 apostles on a missionary journey. Remember what he told them? Let me jog your memory. Matthew 10:18. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. Wow. It's been about 300 posts ago, but I recounted the story of a conversation with a Trappist monk at the Abbey of Gethsemane in Kentucky, where he said, and I quote him, God gets us where he wants us, no matter the machinations. Come on, when has it ever happened that a person gets sent to the highest court in the land, and those in charge have no earthly idea of why they're sending him there? It gets better. Here's a prisoner who's basically been forgotten in jail, and the governor, probably after running out of things to talk to King Agrippa about, brings him up in conversation. And he wants the king, who knows neither Paul nor the case, to help determine the charges to send him on to Caesar. This is, all caps, astonishing. Remember, as I noted the other day, as readers, we must put ourselves into the situation and read forward rather than reading all that we know today back into that moment. When I've read this in the past, my easy assumption was to say, of course Paul is standing before kings and governors. He's only one of the most important people in the history of the world. Wrong. At the time, a person like Paul, a prisoner of no consequence, doesn't get an audience with a king. It just doesn't happen. Well, there was Joseph. Remember, Paul is not on trial in today's text. King Agrippa requested to hear him. Paul is being given an audience with the king. With all the pomp and circumstance, bells and whistles, fine regalia, military generals, and prominent men of the city. Paul, the imprisoned criminal, is not on trial as a criminal. No, he stands before King Agrippa as a witness of none other than Jesus himself, the King of all kings. Here's the real kicker. King Agrippa was being given an audience with Jesus Christ. I want you to revel in the glorious gravity of this moment. God gets us where he wants us, no matter the machinations. The prayer of transformation. Lord Jesus, King Jesus, I am your witness. I long to be like you. I am a clay vessel, frail. You are the treasure. And I have this treasure. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And so, Father, to that end, we say, Jesus, I receive your righteousness and release my sinfulness. I receive your wholeness and release my brokenness. I receive your fullness and release my emptiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your joy and release my despair. I receive your healing and release my sickness. I receive your love and release my selfishness. Yes, Jesus, I receive your humility and release my self-importance. Come, Holy Spirit, transform my heart, mind, soul, and strength. that I might become the very love of God. That my consecration would become your demonstration, that our lives become your sanctuary. For the glory of God our Father. Amen. The journal prompts, do you find this, like I do, to be a true marvel, how Paul gets to Rome? And consider this scene in light of the declaration of Jesus' identity as the King of Kings. Are you finding yourself in a moment like you've gotten where you are by maybe brutal machinations? But he's got you where he wants you. He's getting you where he wants you. It's not to say that God caused those brutalizing machinations, but it is to say that he can take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it to good. That he can write straight with a crooked pencil. That he can take the most broken situations and bring forth blessedness. That's the kind of disposition we want to grow in the midst of being tossed to and fro by machinations. That's where Paul, you know, he's like, man, I've been through it all. You name it, it's happened to me, he says. And I've learned the secret in all things, that the secret, whether I'm on the top or on the bottom, it's the same place, because I can do all things, he said, through Christ who strengthens me. He is my strength. Paul knows the Lord as his portion. He knows there's a much bigger story, in that he really, while he may be playing a significant role, he knows he's still a bit actor in this massive, massive epic story. And that's us. We need more humility and more faith and more boldness to just stay in character, right? And Jesus is our character. The secret is Jesus in us, persevering. I mean, Paul, he's in prison 2 years, and then he's standing, he has an audience with the King. That's an adventure right there. Well, we've got to head toward the door. It's Friday. We're going to be running across all kinds of people today. They're in a good mood on Friday. They've been living for Friday, living for the weekend. That's not us, though. We're living for every single day, because we only have so many of them, and we have a story to tell to the nations, right? So we're going to sing. We're going to sing a hymn. I don't know if we've ever sang this on the Wake Up Call. I've sang it before. You probably have too. It's called Christ for the World We Sing. It's number 450. In our Seedbed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise, we're going to sing all four verses, and we're going to sing it like we mean it. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with loving zeal the poor and them that mourn, the faint and overborne, sin sick and sorrow worn, whom Christ doth heal. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with fervent prayer, the wayward and the lost, by restless passions tossed, redeemed at countless cost from dark despair. Christ for the world we sing, The world to Christ we bring with one accord. With us the work to share, with us reproach to dare, with us the cross to bear for Christ our Lord. Christ for the world we sing. The world to Christ we bring with joyful song. The newborn souls whose days reclaimed from error's ways, inspired with hope and praise to Christ belong. Amen. Well, sowers, get your seeds. Everywhere you go, with everyone you meet, you're going to have the countenance of Jesus on you today. You're going to be carrying peace, and you're going to be imparting it to others just by being with them. That's what Jesus, he's the secret. He's doing this. You're yielding to him. You're listening. You're trying to say, Jesus, what are you saying over this person? How can I echo that? How can I give voice to that? How can I encourage your will in this person's life? And that doesn't mean you're going to talk to everybody about Jesus. That'd be fine, but that's not what this is. This is about just loving people and allowing Jesus to express that love through you in their everyday, ordinary life. Well, I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.